everyone. This is William Del Pilar, your favorite conservative Latino. And this is Fired Up California. Tonight's guest is a man who did what no one else could do since the Gray Davis era. He launched a successful gubernatorial recall in California. Think about it. While high-profile Democrats like Gavin Newsom has easily shredded recall attempts, then there was the former LA DA George Cascon's recall, in which, I don't know, I guess what I'm trying to say is it seemed more like the Keystone Cops were trying to recall him than actual political operatives. And then L.A. Mayor Karen Bass's recall couldn't even get off the ground. This individual got it done. We're going to talk about Proposition 50 and what it really is, why it matters, and what he believes we must do to defeat it. His name is Mike Netter. But before we begin, do not forget to click the thumbs up and the like while you listen. And make sure you bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and check out our new swag we have there. We have mugs, shirts, hats. We're an all-volunteer corps here, so your help is greatly appreciated. Then follow us on your favorite platform like YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. With that out of the way, let's get to it. But before I bring Mike in, let's set the table. Gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is what Prop 50 is all about. Gerrymandering is the manipulation of electoral district boundaries to favor one party over another. It's been used for decades, to protect incumbents, dilute opposition, and rig outcomes without changing a single vote, and it's legal. Now enter Proposition 50. Prop 50 is Gavin Newsom's attempt to toss out California's current congressional maps, I guess. And these maps, they're drawn by an independent citizens commission, not politicians. But he wants to replace them with the legislative drawn maps that favor Democrats. He claims it's a response to Republican gerrymandering in states like Texas. But let's be honest. Democrats have states that have taken gerrymandering to an art form and destroyed any Republican representation. We are novices compared to Democrats. The truth is, this isn't about fairness. It's about opportunity. Under Prop 50, Democrats could flip up to 5 congressional seats, redrawing districts to make them more progressive and less competitive. And that's not just a California power grab. That's a national play to shift the balance in Congress and give Newsom a launching pad for his 2028 presidential run. Look, Democrats, see what I did? This isn't theoretical. TV ads are already running, and they will make you aghast at the plain lies they are stating. Even worse, unions are mobilizing, and the full spectrum campaign is underway. So tonight, we're joined by the man who knows how to fight back, Mike Netter. Again, he's the only person since the Gray Davis era to successfully launch a gubernatorial recall in California. And he's here to break down what Prop 50 really is, why it matters, and what we must do to defeat it. Mike's a veteran of distribution, sales, and marketing with executive roles at Corporate Express and Staples. He knows about marketing. Today, he's applying that business acumen to state politics. He's building volunteer coalitions and creating alliances to advance conservatism in California. In the recall of Gavin Newsom's campaign, he used the power of social media, and he's now traveling the state. He's speaking to grassroots groups, and he's sounding the alarm on Prop 50. Mike studied business and computer science at San Diego State University, my hometown, and tonight he's here to break down the fight ahead. Let us welcome Mr. Mike Netter.
Mike, William, what a pleasure to be here today. I love the name of your show, Fired Up California, because I'm continuously fired up.
And, you know, let's get real quick. I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to respond, but I filmed this on Sundays, people, and today was Charlie Kirk's memorial. Your quick thoughts on what to me was, I rarely shed a tear. I'm a Latino, and I literally shed a tear over the loss of that young man. What are your thoughts with this whole debacle in the memorial and Charlie Kirk?
For me, it's a very surreal experience. I actually put this out on my X feed, at Netter Mike, for those paying attention. And we'll get into social media in a bit because that's a part of the key of what we're talking about. But for me, what was a bit surreal, William, it is, and I've had the blessings in my life to meet a lot of famous people, be on a lot of stages. In the last 5 years, I've been in politics. But Charlie Kirk is the only person that I've been on stage with that has ever lost their life to a bullet. Mm-hmm. And back in 2020, in a big rally that Sarah Stevens had put on in Hemet at the time, we were with Charlie Kirk in the green room. He wasn't as well known then. Again, if you can't guess my age, just put it this way. I'm under 80, but well over, shall we say, it starts with a 6. And it's touching and amazing to me what this young man did. But scary how we fight. We were carrying, full disclosure, still exercise our Second Amendment rights today. But for everybody out there, and it's part of the theme I want to go into today, we've had a lot of threats. Everybody gets a lot of threats, the quotes in the business. It's what you don't see. It's what you don't pay attention to that I encourage everybody to, quote, pay attention to. And I'm not just talking about violence and threats. It's about the things when you talk about Prop 50, when you talk about the recall, where the public doesn't pay attention. And dive right into it, if you don't mind, before you even ask me a question. I like to ask you a question that has a trick answer to it. Who do you think the biggest party in California is?
Oh, and the MPP.
Nope. It's actually the party of apathy. It's the party of people that don't vote. There are 10 million Democrats, about 6.5 million MPPs, and other parties, about 6 million Republicans now. But the reality is, when people ask, what happened in the recall? What happened this, that, and the other? I'm a math guy and a sales body. The reality is, it's the people that don't participate. And that's a lot of why I do shows like this and do a lot of media. To stay fired up, you have to pay attention. You have to stay engaged. What took Charlie Kirk down, if you will, were the people we weren't looking for. And that's a lot of what politics is about.
Right. You know, it's the apathy. And one of the examples we'll talk about down the road here, that was a successful congressional run, 7% turnout. It was a congressional race to top it off. So you're absolutely correct. Apathy is the major culprit. Well, let's get right into it then. I want to talk a bit about the recall to show people your track record, to get some of the thoughts, ideas of how that was successful. Yes, sir.
No, the reason I'm stopping, it's not me that did the recall. There was a committee of 6 of us that started this in a room. And the reason I'm going like this, for everybody out there when you're watching this, William invited me in, and I'll tend to take over the show. So stand back for 1 second here, okay? Here's the reality of it. The reason we got the recall on the ballot, William, is because we didn't know expletive deleted beep beep about politics. Okay. And when you don't know anything about a space going in and from other disciplines, that's where we're able to get the recall on the ballot. And we had one of the best politicians, period, in the history of politics in our corner. You know who that was, right?
Who? Let the audience know.
Gavin Newsom himself, because when you're actually going after a politician like that, and he is so inept and we're able to draw attention to this politician, that is what galvanized the people of California. But it really wasn't about a recall. What? And it seems striking to people when I say that, and I want to get that on the table. I know we have a set of prepared questions, but I've already got my answers in the queue, and the answers are this. What it really was about, and Gavin is copying our playbook today, okay, was about getting an election in an off cycle to wake up the public, to make them aware there was something they could do about California.
Right. And for the audience, during non-presidential cycles, voter turnout is much lower. And thus, when you got a strong get out the vote tech team, et cetera, that's one serious advantage you may have if you can get your people out. Republicans actually count on that quite a bit during these off cycles when they're in Democrat strongholds. So yes, that's a very good point. When did you realize, though, hey, we can make this happen? And what were some of the drawbacks, some of the failures you overcame that most recalls fail. I mean, there's a big cultural block here in the minds of Republicans. Oh, they're all Latino, black, they're all minorities. We don't have that vote. I mean, how did you overcome all of that?
Okay, let's explain a couple things here, what a recall is, which relates to a lot of where the power of the people still lies in California. It's something called direct democracy, and it's all intertwined with each other. For anybody watching this out there, I want you to understand that when you look out your window away from your television set and see what I'm going to call the carnage on the streets in California, from the local level up to the state level, you have something called direct democracy. William, can I take a second and explain what direct democracy
Please
is?
Please do. Please
All
do.
Right. Direct democracy was actually 1911, 1913 passed on the ballot by the liberals to come up against Standard Railroad, who had taken over politics at the time, kind of like you talk about Google and large entities today. There are basically four kinds of direct democracy that go at the local level up to the state level. I'm going to boil them down simple for everybody. At the state level, direct democracy means you can recall a state official. That requires 12% of the people that voted for governor last time. I'm going to say that again slowly, which maybe it wasn't slow enough. 12% of the people that voted for governor last time to recall a state official or the people like a state senator. If you want to change the Constitution of California, and for those of you out there who seem surprised by what I just said, yes, California has a constitution, and many of the California Democrats probably haven't read it. But let's put that down for 1 second. To change the state constitution, you have to get the signatures of what I'm talking about here to get on the ballot of 8% of the people that voted for governor last time. If you want to pass a law, which we call an initiative, you have to get the signatures of 5% of the people that voted for governor last time. And if you don't like something that the legislature passed, not that that happens, you can overturn that with a referendum, which is 5% of the people that voted for governor last time. And if you say, I don't feel like taking on all of California, embedded in the state constitution, when you talk about open the show with recall of Gascon, a possible one of Bass, that requires 10% normally of the registered voters within that municipality. So those of you out there, you have the power much of you in your hands much of the time to change what happens. You don't, and that will go on the next ballot in a regular election cycle. I don't want to go too deep, but that's what a recall is. In the case of the recall of Gavin Newsom, we were too stupid, as they call us in the papers or the press, to understand how politics works. And that's made us smart enough from our day jobs and former day jobs, a tech guy, a retired sheriff, a distribution guy, an accountant, etc., to get a committee together to get this on the ballot because we didn't follow the typical, shall we say, political template.
Right. Right. No, that makes perfect sense. When I had one of the first fantasy sports businesses in the world, and I didn't follow the template, and people would tell me, you're going to fail. And I'm like, no, I'm just doing what I think is going to succeed. And it does. And that tends to happen in politics. And I immediately learned that when I got into politics, these people want you to follow a certain specific path every time that is not always conducive to success. Now, what were some of the forms of resistance you faced? You know, you said they thought y'all were stupid. I mean, you're facing backlash in the media, political institutions. Did you get any backlash from the California Republican Party? Hey, y'all don't know what you're doing. You need our help. People wanting to take it over?
That would actually be an understatement. The California Republican Party, and I want to say this right here at the beginning. There's no – and for everyone out there, and I actually stole this from Emerson, William – there's no such thing as the California Republican Party. There's no such thing as the New York Times. There's no such thing as CBS. It is a group of people that work under a particular flag. So the people that ran the Republican Party at the time hated what we were doing because we were throwing them off their game, okay? And they virtually, without going too deep, though much of these stories have been documented, the reality is, again, We tend to call them the grassroots, but the people of California, the 5 million Republicans, well, you're going to ask eventually, well, what happened in the recall? We were able to gather signatures because we did some things which still exist today. The reason the recall didn't go through at the election as at that point, because obviously I'm not that bright after talking to me for a few minutes, we turned that movement over to the California Republican Party. And many of the people giving us advice, it's kind of like if you're a fantasy sports and I'm a sports fan, right? Well, they come to us and they go, this is the way we did it back in the Nixon and the Reagan years. And I go, they're both dead, but what did you do? And they go, we did X, Y, and Z, you bastard. And I go, okay, well, how's it working out for you? They go, oh, we're 0-20 for the last 20 years. We've never won a state office. We're getting our posterior kicked, but follow our advice. Now, obviously, I'm not the brightest brick in the pile, but we didn't follow their advice. Once this became a nationwide attention and a really big movement, we started to follow their advice. But there's some lessons I really want to get across in my segment and time here today that I think people need to understand.
Go ahead. Real quick. You brought up a very good point. To the audience, that's always been my issues. When I first got involved in the Republican Party, I was Latino, entrepreneur, speak, read, write Spanish, could communicate, and they loved me. Then I started speaking my mind. I started disagreeing with how they were doing things, and they wanted it done a certain way. And I segue that into the Gascon recall. I knew some of the people who did the original one.
So did I.
I'm not going to talk about the quality of what they were doing, but the GOP came in and kind of usurped that. As well, not directly the GOP, but some of the players within it, and they kind of went to hell. Then the next recall was even worse, if I remember, that they tried with Gascon. They had the numbers there. The people wanted Gascon out.
Here's the problem with politics. When we talk consultants to people to understand why, okay? Consultants, in effect, for everybody out there, work on commission. Correct. Now, when we went into business at Fantasy Sports, if I came to you with a business model that said, I would like you to spend 10 times the amount of what you're doing right now so you can lose even more money, you probably would have thrown me out of the room. But that's politics today. Now,
when I sold the company, that's exactly what the new ownership did.
Explain to you a couple things. Let's use your fantasy sports company as an example. Now, I'm going to go out on the limb here, and I do play fantasy football. I'm losing to my son today, but I won the championship at KABC last year with a really big trophy, so I'm very proud of that. Let's start with a couple things in business that if I came to you with a business proposition, I'm going to ask you to do the following things, okay? I'm going to ask you to advertise your fantasy sports league by putting signs on everybody's lawn to get them to participate. That's what we do in politics. But wait a second. If that doesn't work for you, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go door to door and knock on all the doors that you can find until you find someone that likes football and is willing to play fantasy sports. Now, the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't know about your neighborhood, they've given up coming to my door. They don't do that anymore. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you something in the mail. Now, for those of you out there quickly being cognizant of the fact there ain't no spring chicken, the only mail I get at my age or almost any age is what I call bad decisions. I haven't changed my oil at the right time, bought the wrong life insurance, or get to be a certain age where they'd like to bury me. So most of my mail goes in the garbage. And back from the days, and I've been in marketing and sales since Moses was a PFC, as we used to say, all right? Direct mail marketing has about a 2% rate of return. The problem is that it is expensive to send out these handy pieces. It is correct. $2 to $5 a piece, and you still get a 2 to 4% return. So why do you think politics does it? It does it because the consultants make a 17% return on those mailers. So spend more, lose more, and we'll walk away with the loot. And that's really the problem with politics. Now,
for the audience out there, That's always been, since I got involved in, it's been the major issue that the grassroots really realizes quickly. It's the consultant class running the show.
So let's talk about a couple things that we realized early on, okay? One is the problem in California, like I mentioned, is the party of apathy. Let me hit you, my good host, with a quiz question. Now, I'll start you off with peppering you here. There's 22 million registered voters, allegedly, 18 million who've ever voted in the state of California.
Who never voted?
Who ever voted. 18 okay. million that have ever turned in a vote. Okay. How many in a gubernatorial primary, and you can look it up, don't tell anybody my secret source, promise? Ballotpedia. Through Google, people always right. ask, oh, I know this, okay? How many people do you think vote in a typical gubernatorial primary in California?
Oh, before the mail-in voting, probably a high would have been 20%, a high, but probably 8, 10, 12%.
It's about 7 million. So I'll give you benefit of the doubt that you're within range. 7 million of 18 million even bothered to vote in a primary. Right. As we drift to Prop 50 today, I'll get to what Gavin's going on and why Gavin is doing it. Now, for everybody out there, when I talk about the party of apathy, the biggest problem is those that don't vote. It doesn't matter. There's more Democrats, less Democrats vote. Many Republicans don't vote. But for everybody out there, and William, you asked one of the things we did in the recall, okay? We started the recall, and there's a lesson to be learned here. For direct democracy, for doing initiatives, and full disclosure, right. I'm working with the Save Prop 13. I'm working with Voter ID. I'm working with School Choice, the CEO Act, the initiatives right now. Digital, and the consultants don't like digital. Now, I'm going to ask you another trivia question, which you seem to be a bright younger man than me, which most people are, or they're dead at my age, but let's just put that down for 1 second. Okay? If you want to buy 22 million records every quarter of the entire California state database of voters, how much do you think that costs?
Oh, you're talking tens of thousands. I've seen some of the numbers they try to charge candidates. And that's not a one-time fee.
It's 30 bucks. It's 30 bucks. It's $30. It's public data for 30 bucks.
Right. But then to get it processed and curated. You're just talking about buying a list. You're just talking about buying a list.
No. You can buy it and you can process it. We have a really big computer. But the data itself, this is a very important lesson. You just said something. People came to us at the beginning of the recall like crack dealers trying to sell us data. Like, and they go, well, the next guy got better data than the last guy. I'm like, it all comes from the Secretary of State, you Yahoo. I'll let you fill in Yahoo, what goes to the posterior for later on in the show, right? But the reality is, okay, data is free and cheap. Execution of digital data, which, by the way, I'm going to guess in your fantasy sports league, you did digital online. Am I correct?
Oh, God, yeah. That's
what I'm saying. Oh, hold on. I'm bringing that up. You didn't go door to door. Did you go door to door each day and ask each weekend and ask people what their football picks were going to be? No. Did you put a sign on the lawn saying, join my fantasy football league? No. Did you go around and pass out flyers at the mall looking for football fans? No. Does McDonald's do that? No. They use digital. And the digital data for who you want to reach is readily available. Processing it actually is easier than you think, but being a computer guy, I'll put that down. Here's the challenge for consultants on both sides of the aisle. Do you know how much a mail touch, my demo piece, costs $2 to $4 a piece? Fair enough?
Okay. Fair enough.
The digital touch, regardless of how it is, and I won't go too deep today, is a penny a piece.
Correct.
So you can reach a lot of voters for a penny a piece. Now, I'm going to teach you, do this a little bit as a teaching experience, okay, if you don't mind. Well, even if you do, but I'm trying to be polite, okay? I'm working on it, William, okay? What we've also been taught by the Democrats is that, oh, my God, we need to get to the black voters, the Latino voters, the Chinese voters, okay? Here's the reality of the situation. Do you know who the most reliable block of voters is across the country, and especially in California?
Probably the Anglo voter. Who?
It's the old people. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's very important.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the young do not vote. That's right. That's what Republicans count on. They count on the young not voting.
People 55 and older.
Right.
About 37% of the population, but 50% of the vote consistently each time. You go down a little bit further and you get them. So the Democrats broke it into little demographic groups. And for shaping issues, that's really important. Now, I know not more than a couple thousand people are watching this, so I'm going to let you in a little secret. Ready?
What's that?
As long as I live, I'm probably never going to be an old Asian woman. As long as I'm around, I will never walk in the shoes of a black person, nor theirs in mine. Michael Jackson tried to be a white guy. It didn't work out well for him. Let's just put that down. He's an exception. And the reason I say that is because when we shape issues, we need to shape them. And we did this during the recall of something that's part of the common human experience.
Right.
And I got news for you. No matter what gender you are, and by the way, there's two, which of the two genders you are, no matter what your race, no matter what your ethnicity, we all grow old. And that's part of the common human experience. And growing old means you get stuff and want to protect your stuff. And you get kids, and you get homes, and you tend to look at more what we call traditional values in general until you get really rich and become a rich liberal. So we need to start targeting people, which we did in the state of California, to sign the petition digitally. You know one of the things we did that had never been done before, William?
What's that?
Famous call with Robbie Gordon, attorney for the Secretary of State, when we were doing this. We said, you know, we've been reading the rules and regulations. It doesn't say the petition has to be in legal size paper. It says legal margins. Now, you mentioned that I'd worked for Staples or Corporate Express, a national, international company, an executive up the food chain for a very long time. I'm going to take a wild stab and say, you probably don't have a ream of legal paper sitting around your house. If you do, you're more the exception. You have
I'm the exception. I got one right behind me where I do my
– you know what I'm saying? People have letter-sized paper generally.
Correct. Okay. In college, that's all I use, letter size.
Right. So we asked the question. It says legal margins. Is there a reason we can't put the petition on letter-sized paper? He said no. And we said, I literally asked on the call, well, I'm confused. Why hasn't anybody ever done this before? You know what the reply I had was?
No. What was it?
No one's ever asked the question. Now, that sounds like a small point to everybody, but what we're able to do is empower the people of California to email you the link to the petition, or if you want to print out petitions, I didn't have to ship big boxes of 8.5 by 14.
Correct. Okay,
the consultants like it because they can go and hire signature gatherers at $20 a piece and everybody gets a chunk of it. So anybody out there, when you want to do something, empower your volunteers, which we did in the recall, to be able to spread the word kind of like religion and empower people. We collected 2.1 million signatures. We were collected 2.3. Over, and we did it. Everybody told us it'd be $20 a signature. It's going to take $20 million. We did it for 70 cents a signature. That gets lost in the shuffle a lot of the time. And not, you tell by speaking to me, because I'm that bright. Hey. It's simply because we empowered a lot of people to take charge and got the message out that no matter who you are, if you own a business, hey, when I was 18 years old, if they'd allow me to not work, pay me, stay at home, and ship pot and alcohol to my house, okay, that was COVID. Or they're like, hey, stay home. We're going to deliver liquor and we're going to deliver marijuana. And by the way, we're going to pay you to do this. My only regret, of course, is they didn't do this at my tender age of 17. But I turned out like I did, so not so bad. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
The people that had businesses and stuff, we empowered them to put petitions in their business. We empowered them to do that. And we were able to target people using digital methodology. And over 700,000 of our signatures came in the mail for people printing them out and shipping them to us.
Gotcha. Okay, so Mike, you got this done. Then it was on the ballot. Real quick, what happened there before we get into the Prop 50 itself?
Well, it's interesting. This is actually related to Prop 50. Gavin Newsom, what we didn't realize when we did this is when a recall goes on the ballot or an initiative, there are no campaign limits. Do you understand that? So when you're running for governor, there's a limit of 36,000 a pop and goes downhill from there. There are no campaign limits. So Gavin Newsom was able to raise $90 million and spend $70 million on the recall to defeat it and, of course, control the Secretary of State, which advertised the reelection. And I'm just going to say that to call the Republican Party ineffective is kind of an insult to most things which are ineffective. So I'll leave that alone, okay? That's the reality of it that we didn't realize at the time. That's where it went.
3 points in that killed it. Newsom's financial treasury chest, the write-up, how it was presented, and the ineptitude of the California Republican Party as a whole.
The simple in the time I have here, the way that it killed it. And that relates today to Prop 50. And William, you're going to ask me how does it relate to Prop 50.
I kind of know, but I want you to explain to the audience. That's exactly why I asked you on here. How your strengths of what you did relates to Prop 50. But my one comment or question I really had, though, this is now on the ballot. It's not about gathering signatures. So what can you take from your recall experience?
Let's take a step back for 1 second as to why Gavin is doing this. And we all know that Gavin cares very deeply about democracy? No.
Yeah.
Cares about California? No.
Yeah.
I just did this on KABC. They go, what? John Phillips asked me. I'm like, Gavin has never been governor of California. What does Gavin Newsom care about the most?
Power, money, how he's perceived.
Gavin! He cares about the most about Gavin.
Gavin's
best friend is the mirror on the wall, okay? So let's take a step back and ask why he's doing Prop 50 to begin with, okay? Now, people say, well, it's could give him a national stage. Look, he's got the $20 million that he does the national stage is from yours truly. As he shifted it from his political back from the recall. But Gavin learned something like a trained dog. Prop 50 is a really big risk for Gavin Newsom. Okay, if he loses Prop 50 or even comes close, he's got a lot of egg on his face. It's going to be challenged in court. So why do you think Gavin's really doing it? Now, hold on. There's about an 8-week run from when they put it on the ballot. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in 8 weeks, you hear Gavin Newsom out there. And yes, I'm on his email and text list. And I hate to put it this way, but I'm going to. And if you don't like it, go to another show. Two old white guys, Charles Munger, okay?
Yeah.
And George.
Real quick, tell the audience who he is. Just real quick.
Charles Munger is the son, is a physicist who's one of the people that shaped the Republican Party. He's on our side. And Gavin Newsom is goading Charles Munger. Hey, you old right? We're going to take down your big thing that you put in with independent redistricting. And by the way, the time I have, I want to go into something about Prop 50 here deeper in 1 second. But Munger is the one that got it on the ballot and got independent redistricting passed. So he chides Charles Munger and says, bro, come on, pick a fight with me, you old physicist. Throw 10, 20 million. And George Soros, allegedly still alive, George Soros then throws another 10 million, money throwing back and forth. Mm-hmm. Now, I want everybody to take a deep breath there. When I went into politics, there's going to be a turnout about 5 million. You can write that down for this election. It's in November. It's in an off year. How the expletive deleted are they going to spend that much money that quickly? They're not on Gavin's side. So Gavin is doing this as to raise money to stash for his run for president, because Gavin has an addiction, and it's not drugs or alcohol necessarily, although it probably is. It's running for office. Gavin wants to run. Haven't you seen that? He doesn't want to run the state of California. I don't even think he wants to be president. He just wants to campaign and wants people to cheer him and tell him how fine looking he is. And that money he has left over from the recall allows him to run around. That's where the money, $20 million, came from, for the Save America PAC. And by the way,
for the audience real quick, running for office is actually the fun part. All politicians love it. Everything else is actual work, and that's an astute point there, because Gavin loves the fun part. The actual work, I don't think he gives a rat's tail about.
Rodents posterior, we say on the radio. but it's the same drift, okay? So that is why Gavin Newsom is actually doing this. He can push it into an off cycle. Now, the reality is, when I started to go in there, and this is the lesson I want everybody to get, okay? We've got voter files. We hand out voter files. We give voter files for free. Digital's a penny apiece. Here's the problem we have in California, is that the political class runs it like it's still, there's two parties. There's not. There's all the little parties. There's Democrats, Republicans, and the party of apathy. And I want to really drive this point. Okay? William, I'm going to ask you a question. You get around a bit. I could tell by looking at you.
35 countries and counting.
All right. Have you ever been to anybody and walked up to them and they go, dude, I got to tell you, man, I think I pay too little taxes. I really wish I could pay more taxes. I feel that I'm getting such good service. In fact, I'm in California. I get such good service, I feel I'm underpaying them. No, of course you don't. William,
not,
do you own
not even Democrats.
Not even Democrats. Do you own a tent company? A tent company, like an outdoor tent company. No.
No,
then you're
not.
Probably not for the homeless. If you do own a tent company, it's a great business model. Nobody is for it. Criminals, as we saw with Prop 36, are like, dude, I don't want to get shot. There's too much crime. Okay? And I have met very few people that don't like water. Okay, so most people that look in California does a horrible job of managing it. So people know there's a lot wrong in California. What
Correct.
Gavin is banking on is a low turnout. Digital, what we right. did during the recall. And the trouble is the consultants can't make a lot of money on digital. They make a 17% commission. This piece, this is from my friends at Howard Jarvis. Quick plug there, okay? They make, you know, people make a lot of money sending them out because they make a 70% commission on it.
Correct.
And it's got a 2 to 4% open rate. Right now.
I'm surprised it's that high, to be honest, Mike.
That's what we talk about from the old days. But I want to explain to you. Right now I do a newsletter. I get a 60% open rate. I
right.
make a profit on it. My social media gets over 1.5 million views a week. Last year we sent out almost 40 million emails. But you know what, William? You're never going to get an email from me. You know why?
Why's that?
You're already voting for me. You've already bought. You're already in my fantasy football league, dude. Why the hell would I solicit you? So part of the problem we have in California is the system, and I'm going to go on for a second. I'm even going to ask you if you mind, but
No. This is very important because that's my issue too. Is there's nothing, you get nothing talking to the people who are like you already. You got to go
so
out.
Here's the thing. If you want to target people in your community, we could see in these voter files, which we buy for $30. You could buy LA County for $149. We have something called, well, for politeness, I'll call it, it's an RBC. It's a technical term. You familiar with that?
No, what is it?
Really big computer. And so we're able to put all this stuff in the really big computer, okay, and divvy it out in bite-sized chunks so you could talk to your community. And we've been doing this and found out that most people don't understand what they're diving into. So let me boil this down really simply for you. There's something called propensity voters. Okay, and for those of you out there going, well, that's a really big word. I've been watching football today. Okay, what's propensity? Propensity means the frequency of voters. And so just buying your voter data, what I'm telling you is this. There are high propensity and there are low propensity and no propensity voters. No propensity voters means you've never voted. I'm going to ignore you. Do you think I'm going to pay attention to the high propensity voters?
No.
You're right. I'm not. Because they're already voting. And if they're a hardcore Republican, they're already voting. If they're a hardcore Democrat, I could care less. I'm not going to convince them. So we want to go for the party of apathy, which are the mid-range to low mid-range propensity voters, and touch them digitally with an email, with a banner ad, with a native ad at a penny a piece. And by the way, for everyone out there, I really want to sink this home. Let me ask you a simple trivia question, William. We have 40 state Senate seats in California. Fair enough? Okay.
Gotcha.
Do you know how many people are in each state Senate seat in California?
How many people are in each state? Well, I say 40.
State Senate seat in California.
If we have 40, then I'd say 40.
No, there's 985,000, what I mean, in each population. In other words, where I'm driving at, you're not going to go door to door, people.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Okay, it's too big. Each congressional seat is the same across the country. It's too big. The state is too big. And with all due deference to my friend, Scott Pessler, I argue about this continuously. And William, I don't know if you have kids. I don't know who your best friends are. But I'm going to tell you this. Everyone out there right now, if you have children, you have friends, you may not talk to many of them. You don't talk to your distant relatives for 3 years at a time, but you check your cell phone every 30 seconds. So that's the device which we are going to target and deliver. And that's what we did during the recall. Sign the recall. Sign the recall. Here's the target that I want. I don't want the hardcore Democrats. Now, we gave it to the Republican Party. So Proposition 50 isn't about winning. The key to Proposition 50 is stimulating it. Do you know when these propositions passed, to begin with, that the Democratic Party spent I'm going to say buttload, you can fill in what butt is an uncommon company, all right, on these propositions to defeat them by putting dueling propositions on there. To your point you opened your show with, they want to do gerrymandering, they want to do this, they want to do that, right? They always have, okay?
Right.
At the end of the day, it's not about Texas. It's about raising money for Gavin. And if we're able to defeat Gavin with Prop 50, it's going to be a big plug for the state. But you know what? Hold on. Here's what's important. What the Democrats have trained Republicans to do, when I started in this business, I would go into these big meetings 5 years ago, right? Like, oh, we feel so good. We only lost by 8 points. And like, what have you guys actually done? What have you put on the ballot? Oh, they go nothing. So right now, what's happening for everyone out there, voter ID going to hit the ballot. I'm involved with that with Carl DeMaio. Say Prop 13. We need to get signatures for that. Because if not, I got news for you. You're going to be one of those people going, how the hell did my tax bill go up? That's pretty deep into itself. If you don't want your kids to end up, well, shall we say, uneducated, along with other things in public school, we need school choice and we need to beat the teachers union, which interestingly enough, who's one of the biggest donors to Prop 50? The teachers union.
Right.
And by the way, there was a shooting at the Sacramento TV station, which you heard about the other day.
Right.
And the guy they arrested is a former legislative guy from the teachers union. I put that out last night on my newsfeed. Okay. That's the reality of the situation. It's about money and power. We can beat them by going on the offensive. That's the lessons to be learned from the recall. But back to you, William, because you have a few more questions for me.
Okay, so a little bit of pushback. You know, Glenn Youngkin, Ron DeSantis' first race, Myra Flores, J.D. Vance, they all use targeted ground games. Mm-hmm. So, but the way you talk is like you don't believe in that. But then, you know, let me finish. And again, this isn't a signature gathering. It's on the ballot. So isn't at least a targeted ground game important in all of this?
A targeted ground game is a layer of it. Donald Trump, my analyst and I were laughing. I have a team that's behind me. Obviously, I can't do all this myself. and I'm not that bright, as previously mentioned, okay? Donald Trump won the swing states with targeted digital. Fair enough? Kamala Harris, as you well documented, spent $1 billion going door to door, many doors twice, and got her posterior chin.
One of those billions went with the stars.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm not saying you don't need a ground game, but you know, I started off my career as a door to door salesman. Hence the look from getting my face kicked in. Okay?
That is a while ago.
Door to door, okay? You get a 2-4% of the people that answer the door.
Right.
Okay? You digital, I'm not saying don't go door to door. And by the way, let's talk about Florida. Let's talk about Georgia. You ready?
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's what is the difference between Florida, Georgia, Virginia, and California? We have a lot more people. Okay? And you can't get to all those doors. Okay? You physically can't.
Well, they can't get to them in those states neither. That's why
they get to enough doors to swing an election. Again, I study this for a living. My son's a rocket scientist. Okay? I'm literally an old physics major. Okay? So this is not a hard game. The reality is what our side can afford in California. I'm not saying don't go door to door. We didn't go door to door in the recall, though. We set up booths and had people come to us.
Well, that's part of the process of the ground game, too.
But we don't do that, do we? We want everybody to use a canvassing app. Let me ask you a question. You may have a fruit or taco vendor in your neighborhood, right?
Right down the street.
Yeah. You stop by to buy something, right? Does he come to your door and drop it off?
No. When I talk the ground game, that's how I look at today's ground game. You can't go door to door. You got to be strategic about it.
We set up, but what I'm saying, we did this during the recall. That's a different kind of ground game. But the reality is this. You could do it all, but start with digital, okay? Especially in a state this big. Grow your ground game and everything else out of that. You want to hear something really stupid?
What's that?
I'm not talking about my high school days. I often wondered why a congressional candidate in Los Angeles or any area buys $500,000 of TV ads to advertise to people that can't vote for them. Think about that. They advertise on CBS, which goes to Riverside, and they're running in Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
That's kind of like me going to Moscow to ask them to come to my Washington, D.C. bakery. Okay,
I got to be honest. That's a bad campaign manager. You know, that's not smart.
They all do that because they've been trained to do it because there's a lot of money to be made. Go to your next question here.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You've kind of answered quite a bit of it. I believe in a targeted ground game even here, but using the methods you said. Set up the booths. You know, find a precinct captain that can collate ghost spots, you know, maybe set up a somewhere where the person can come and speak a couple thousand, because you're right. Door to door is not feasible, especially now with the Charlie Kirk assassination, the violence. They're scared to go into those blue districts as well. But let's do a lightning round here. With some questions. So, and you've already touched on some of this. So what's the biggest myth voters believe about Prop 50? You kind of already covered it, but give us a kind of
the greatest myth people believe about Prop 50 is that Prop 50 is on the ballot. They don't know what's on the ballot. And you could say, well, that's ridiculous because people watching this show. But again, in the biggest party of apathy, out of 18 million active voters will be lucky to have a turnout of 5 million. The biggest myth.
You don't have to convince me. You don't have to convince me of that.
Hit me with your lightning round. I'm ready.
Okay. If Prop 50 passes, what's its downstream impact in 2026 and 2028?
Oh, I think it's going to be the opposite for Gavin. Okay. The truth of the matter is, if Prop 50 does pass, we're making a huge assumption, or Gavin is, as they draw these districts, that all these fabulous politicians are going to go Democratic. We'll lose a couple seats, but most Californians are getting to be the point where they've just about had it because one-party rule isn't working out for them. And so Gavin has faced a huge backlash. What the hell he care? He's out of here anyway.
You know, you bring up a lightning round, but you bring up a good point. I come from Panama, two dictators. I tell people every state, it's like an alcoholic. We have to hit rock bottom. And I think you're right. We're close to the people, regardless of party, going, enough of this crap. And Gavin Newsom at the end may have been his own worst enemy with all the legislation.
It's 2 a.m., baby. I'm tired of waking up with election hangovers. Back to you.
What's one tactical mistake conservatives repeat every cycle? Once again, you've kind of covered this, but a condensed version.
It's real simple. Not reaching out to enough people. And I'm going to end with my closing blast on that. Stop being so damn scared on social media. Stop being so damn scared to take, let me be really simple to you. $1,000 in digital reaches 100,000 voters. Okay? Stop being so damn scared.
I think you're right. That's one of the issues I've had with Republicans. We seem to be scared of Democrats in certain issues. And at the end of the day, as you said, you can only take so much stink for so long, and we need to realize the other side is ready. You brought up real quick before I let you go. What I hear out of you is like, well, that's how Trump won. That's how Trump won. You know, he got that apathetic voter to come out. But not only did he get them to come out, he was charismatic enough to make them want to come out.
He touched on the issues which are part of the commune experience. Let's be really clear on that.
That's what I mean by he got him to want to come out and vote.
This is important. In California, which I focus on, where again, 37% of the population is 55 and older and make up about 52% of the vote. Okay, this is happening nationwide, all right? Focus on the common human experience. Trump did this. I'm not Trump. We're not Trump. But the common human experience is this. People like water. They don't like crime. Their utility bills are too high. And the quality of life in California tends to suck. And that's all that you really need to lead with and get people to vote differently. But start, don't worry about that. Black, Hispanic, It doesn't matter. What matters is the people that turn out got something to lose. And we're not talking to them in so simple form. Hold on. I know it's your show, but I'm blasting in here. We all get 200 to 400 texts a week. Did you know from your computer? You could send out 500 emails a day. That doesn't mean 500 different emails. You could simply send one blind copy to 500 people that you know. Never leave your house. Go out and spread the word. Simply spread the word. There's an election going on. Our side makes more sense.
Correct. Mike, I do have one more lightning round question for you, though. And afterwards, tell us a bit about Rebuild California. In Rebuild California, you have five pillars, the Rebuild California. For Prop 50, what would you say are the most important pillars we need to be aware of to make sure we can defeat this?
The most important pillar is very simple, and I'm going to use an old term. It's power to the people, okay? We picked those five pillars because those five pillars are, again, part people want. They want real immigration. I mean, they don't want people flowing around the neighborhood that could be criminal. We want our neighbor vetted to know he's not cooking meth or blowing his house up because I live next door to him because it's about saving me, okay? I want water. I want my crime to be low. Prop 50, when you boil it down, is this. I want the right to have a politician that represents me. Because let me stop you in your lightning round and explain the basic tenet of politics. It's all about me. Yes, indeed. It's all about each individual. I hate to break it to you. They really don't give a damn about, oh my God, the transvestites. What they care about is them. What you care about is you. It's self-preservation. And what I want, it's better for me to have a better life for my kids and to pay less taxes on my house. The simple message to get across about Prop 50, it's robbing you of your rights. Get out there and vote no. It's a simple thing. Vote no. Vote no. And by the way, if you don't understand why to vote no, because most people don't know what gerrymandering is, it sounds like a 1940s cartoon, for God's sakes, here's what I will tell you plain and simple. Do you trust Gavin Newsom? even the Democrats go, nah, not really. That's why we didn't bother to vote at all. If you correct. Don't trust Gavin, and Gavin is telling you to vote yes, do the other thing! It's pretty simple. Do the opposite of what this idiot tells you to do. Back to you, and I'll tell you about Rebuild Hill as we ran down. Rebuild California, rebuildcalifornia.com. You could find us on there. Volunteer. We are a volunteer organization. Send us a few bucks. Get involved. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'll subscribe to my newsletter. I have 90,000 subscribers, 95, 60% open rate. It's Netter News, and you can Google it. William, it's free. You look like you have that kind of money, okay? No charge for it, all right? Follow me. Get engaged on social media. At Netter Mike on X, formerly known as Twitter, like Prince. At Mike Netter on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a social media? Yes. People have jobs, and people that have jobs want to protect their stuff, go on LinkedIn. On Facebook, we have a group per county, Rebuild California. You can find me under my real name, too, on Facebook, Mike Netter, and go to our Rebuild California groups, took up with the county. Use three social medias. I don't care about TikTok, Instagram, an extension of it. Follow me, at Netter Mike. Go to rebuildcalifornia.com. Follow me on my show, which is on social media, called Radio Free California that we put out every week. Get involved. Here's what's most important, and I will end on this, okay? That you get out there and do something. The reality is none of us are going to go door to door when it's 95 degrees outside and the ice cream vendor rolling down the street looks like a crack dealer and is carrying an AK-47. It ain't happening, okay? None of us are necessarily going to contribute $1 million because we don't have Charles Munger money. What you can do is get out there. If you want to be fired up, California, get out there and do something. Reach out to that Democrat. Oh, my God, I'm afraid they're going to say something bad about me on social media. People die for our right to speak up and argue, our right to
That is true.
Stop being scared of talking to someone on social media. You want to contribute $500 to Rebuild California? That allows me to reach 50,000 people. I don't care what you do, but you damn well better do something. Because if not, the party of apathy is going to roll your butt over, and you're going to be rolling out of the state. And I got news for you, for those of you thinking, I'm going to move Tennessee in, well, I'll do deference, Tennessee in the summer sucks. They can't find a way to tax our weather. Stay here and fight and do something about
it. And that's the only reason I'm here.
Stay fired up, California, and get out there and do something. One little thing every day that touches
people.
It's kind of like religion. It's exponential. Thank you for having on today. And as George Carlin would say, have a nice day.
Thank you, Mike. And you know what, people? That's it for Fired Up California. And I want to thank Mike Netter for breaking this down. And if you're ready to fight Prop 50, volunteer and join. Actually, let me rephrase that. We need you to volunteer to help fight Prop 50. Everybody does need to get the word. I always say the California Republican Party can't be counted on, so it's up to us, the people. And Mike Netter is there to help lead that. Before I go, hit like or thumbs up and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. And while you're at it, check out our new swag. You can follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora under the profile Grumblings Media. Until next week, this is William Del Pilar for Fired Up California with kudos to our guest, Mike Netter. And stay vigilant, stay safe, and get involved.